Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
So Marnie asked me this week if I could fill in for her to preach, and then on Friday I lost my voice. And here we are on the third day, and it's sort of back. So it was a clear, crisp day, a nice day for a wedding somewhere on the outskirts of a town in middle America. We had been working hard throughout the day, actually. Friends gathered from the four winds, coming together to help the couple prepare. The reception was going to be beautiful, and the barn was decorated in full-on DIY, stars hanging from the ceiling, those big patio lanterns strung beam to beam, candles in mason jars wrapped in twine. It was a Pinterest-worthy wedding before there was Pinterest. The food was being catered, the best Indian food in town. It was serve-yourself cafeteria style, which made perfect sense if you knew them. In fact, it's all because of a trip to Calcutta, serving alongside Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity, that they got together in the first place. Thank you, India. But thank you also, no Alanis was played that night. They met through friends who knew them both and who instantly knew that they should be set up, even though they lived nowhere near one another. But they had faith. It was bound to work, and truth be told, it has worked. Through even more periods of long distance, moves across the world, and three children later, they're still standing. But the wedding day had a bit of a rough start. A few of us visited the barn in the late morning to drop off and set up the sound gear for the dance party. The barn that they rented out there on the outskirts of Omaha didn't have, it turned out, potable water. It wasn't an area with a typical boil water advisory like too many communities across the continent. It was just a barn that wasn't set up for people to drink water. No problem, we only had a few hundred people coming. Now, nobody's mom was there to tell us, which ruins the obvious parallel, but then again, maybe the DIY punk rock spirit of Mary was right there with us too. All this to say, many kegs of beer were there, but no drinking water. It's sort of the reverse problem. This was no Jesus move, perhaps quite the opposite, but after heading back into town and grabbing some food at Jimmy John's or Chipotle or whatever, we loaded the back of the truck with water, gallons of it, gallons and gallons and gallons of water. Not quite 120 or 180, but enough. Now, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and Mary was there. You remember Mary, of course, the one who the angel showed up to, and when the angel showed up, she sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." Jesus' mom was there, and she got how awkward it was when wedding plans didn't work out quite how you'd imagined or your family did. But she knew Jesus, she knew the angel's promise, and she knew where she was. In Cana of Galilee, a village whose industries included fishing, hunting, farming, maybe even some wine tourism. But Cana of Galilee, like much of the region, was under encroaching occupation and experiencing the bigotry and violence that comes with that. Nobody could remember a time when the community's elders weren't mocked or harassed by occupying forces. In fact, there were times, and maybe you've heard of them, when students, the officers entitled children, would come by caravan and add insult to injury, standing in the way of the elders, blocking them, jostling them, mocking them, looking smug and entitled at them. Because that's exactly what they were, with no concern for the grace-filled humanity before them. Even still, the elders would sing to the steady beat of the drum like a heartbeat to keep them firm and grounded in Creator's rhythm, the one that tells all creation who we are in the face of all the world throws against us. The elders, they would sing the songs of the ancestors, would tell the rich stories of Creator and Creator's love for all creation. Birds of the air, fish of the sea, creatures of the land, including this beloved people, even here, even now, beloved in the face of this monstrosity. And so the elders sang. They sang songs carrying dignity in the face of thievery, in the face of those who would overturn the economy of gift, replacing it with the idolatrous and rapacious currency of the Roman legionaries. While every creature on earth bears Creator's imprint, Creator's spark, Creator's voice, all those lifeless coins can do is weigh you down. If you remember Mary's song, you'll also remember these lines. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from the thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors. Which is all a long way of saying, well, it's all a long way of getting back to the wedding and the ask. They're out there in Cana of Galilee, a small settlement off the beaten path. Resources are scarce, especially under occupation, especially now. And there had been a time, of course, when the fish were plentiful and the vineyards hadn't been plundered by the invading monopolies. But that was then, and this is now. They were getting married. They invited the community, and the community who showed up, they brought, as was custom, gifts of food and drink to share. But Mary, she sees it. She sees what's about to happen, and she can't let this happen. And so she prompts Jesus to be who she knows him to be. If God is the God of miracles, if God is the God of the oppressed, then by God they are going to dance tonight. If God is the one who fills the hungry with good things, there is no better time than this to experience that joy. Mary won't let these two young members of her community be put to shame, not after all she went through, not after all they've been through. Occupation and expropriation of lands, decimating crops and arable land, clear-cutting forests to build ever bigger cities, and a few too many walls, it's all there. And these peasants continue to push back and they continue to fight, but for now, for tonight, what they really need is a party. What they really need is to celebrate. And so Jesus takes the jars, those jars whose waters and whose ceremonies were used to mark the difference between clean and unclean, insider and out, and he uses them as if to say, the source of all goodness, the source of all life, the source of living water is for all of you. It's for all of us. In sharing this cup, we will be made whole. God calls us beloved. God will lift up the lowly, even in this era of domination. It is possible to secede, to pull back, to resist, and to stay strong, to find reason to sing, to abandon all reason and dance. Because grace, God's grace, Creator's grace, which was extended from the beginning of the world, is being reawakened here, tonight, in this covenant, in this community, even in the face of hatred and bigotry, in the face of rising oceans and melting ice, in the face of all that ails this world and all that it throws in our face and the faces of countless others. Because grace. God's grace speaks a new and resounding truth, a truth at times hidden and masked, yet present from the dawn of time. So remember, all of us, we need to remember all creation is beloved, and tonight we celebrate. Tonight we feast at the table. Because tomorrow we return to the fight for the world of God that God dreams of, and for the world that we dream of too.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.